Chef Hugh Atchison is considered to be one of the country's top culinary minds, especially here in Georgia. He owns 4 restaurants around the state. He's written a slew of best-selling cookbooks. And of course, there's his role as a judge on the hit show Top Chef.
I realize maybe they didn't fully integrate the flavor of the rose petal jelly into it. If you get too much, it feels like you're eating somebody's grandmother. It's like just, I mean, it's like perfume.
But Hugh Atchison has another life off camera. He's also invested in education, and he's created a new home economics curriculum for middle school students in Georgia that might help improve their culinary literacy. It's always great to have you, Hugh. Welcome back.
Well, it's good to be here, Celeste. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. And I wonder if you'd start by telling me what culinary literacy is.
You know, I think that we lost some traction in the food world somehow in the last 60 years. We adopted convenience and we forgot how to cook. So to me, sort of culinary literacy is just understanding the basics of food, understanding how to cook food from scratch again in the most simple way possible. It's poaching an egg and making a vinaigrette and having that sort of understanding of food that makes it real, that there's a connection to it, and that we're going to raise kids who can say, I got this.
So you're not talking about knowing what a truffle is?
I don't need more chefs in the world, Celeste. Honestly, we don't. I mean, a couple more in my kitchens would be good now and again because, you know, it's hard to find good people. But no, I just want to raise a generation that understands food more than the previous generation does and did.
I mean, the fact that you're creating this curriculum implies that you think this is a need that's not being fulfilled in the school system now.
You know, I put it this way. We have family consumer sciences, which is the modern term for home ec, in most public schools in Georgia. A lot of it's been canceled, and a lot of they've been getting away from it a little bit. And the curriculum that there is sometimes taught by thoroughly nuanced teachers who are really invested in it and really bring a lot to it. But the core curriculum is really dated. And so what I want to do is I just want to make it much more contemporary so it's a nuanced, interesting curriculum taught by nuanced, interesting, amazingly empowered teachers. And that combination, I think, is much more powerful than we've got now.
One of the things that kind of sparked this, I understand, was because your daughter took the class and they were teaching her.
Not very good stuff. I mean, just basic stuff. A lot of sort of Rice Krispie treats and how to make red velvet cupcakes and things like that. And we all love those things. They're treats in this world.
But they were teaching them to make red velvet cupcakes from a Betty Crocker mix.
Right. They're pretty instant. And then making instant croissants out of a tube and wrapping them in bacon and baking them in the oven. And that's not to say that there aren't sort of some skill sets that you can learn from that stuff. But what about if I can teach retainable knowledge to a kid? And this is all kids, regardless of color, creed, class, economic scale, where they live. This is all in the state of Georgia. This can happen, that we have all these kids learning how to poach an egg or make a vinaigrette or make a super roasted chicken or learning how to read a cell phone contract or learning about a lease because they're going to sign one eventually. And a lot of these kids just are going into this and they're just going into it blind. We're just not equipping them. To me, it's like merit badges. I want to give these kids merit badges for the future and empower them to feel like they can really tackle these problems of life.
So help me understand how this works, because it seemed to me, but for a lot of schools, that many of them got rid of home ec classes quite some time ago, which means they probably also got rid of those classroom kitchens. So if you're making something from scratch, you need more than an oven. I mean, you need to teach knife skills.
You do. I mean, we'll be live for grade 6 in Athens, Clark County, and 4 middle schools next year. Now, they have home ec classrooms still in all of those schools. They have amazing programs of ag science and things like this. So we're utilizing a lot of those things. So these classrooms still exist in a lot of places. So we're trying to do it in a very budget-minded way. We're going into, hopefully, the existing slot of family consumer sciences and just revamping the curriculum that's there. We're giving them new skill sets and new sort of topics to cover that are really nuanced and accompanied by great videos produced at Google and really good step-by-step knife work and step-by-step how to do this recipe. And this is core stuff. But imagine if all these kids in 8 years can be 19, 20 years old and know how to make a great salad and cook farro and rice and roasted chicken. Then we change the whole paradigm of how these kids are living. I mean, we know that good food creates better humans, right? We know that. But we're
in a lot of different ways, not just physiologically.
In so many different ways. And it's empowering to be able to feed yourself and your family. And we're just not teaching these kids those core skills. So that's what this is about. But it's not just about food. It's about sort of DIY and life hacks. It's about fixing things before replacing them. It's about how to read that cell phone contract and why you don't lease a car when it's your first automobile, or how to sign a lease for the first time, or just the really basic ideas. It's auto renewals and subscriptions that we all look at our bank statements these days and we're like, wow, why did they charge me again for that? I thought I canceled it a year ago. And it's because you clicked the little auto renewal thing. And we just don't understand like the gravitas of what this all means in our daily routine. And I think we just need to get to the bottom of it and equip these kids with skills that really matter.
So this kind of came up in my own home recently because my son had a friend over and he told his friend, my mom's making bread. And he's like, wow, how do you do that? And my son's like, flour, water, and some yeast.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? You know, and the kid was blown away that that's all that was in bread.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, didn't understand the science of how flour, water, and a little yeast became a loaf of bread. I mean, that's a great moment for me to tell, but how does that then translate into more self-sufficient human being if I'm teaching that?
Because to get over what I call the age of convenience, the last 80 years of us buying into the ease of buying things made for us, fast food, you know, shelves and shelves of pre-prepared food items, to get away from that and to live in a healthy world again, we have to understand the basic crux of food, that when we mix this with this, we create this from scratch. We have to reintroduce the idea of value into food in the way that I can actually produce a great meal for four for $10, which you'd be hard-pressed to go to McDonald's and buy enough food for a family of four for $10 these days. So this is the, you know, we're trying to rip the sort of facade that food is fancy, food is difficult, food is something you shouldn't be able to try at home anymore. And we just need to make sure people understand that we can all do this. It's really, really straightforward. So, but that's like bread. I mean, people just do not understand the basic tenets of food anymore. So we're just trying to reintroduce that into their lives.
So does this translate into another area? I know your guys are starting in Athens, but you're looking ahead to a year or two and turning it into a national program. Do you have to make changes when you leave Athens, Georgia, and take it to, say, Iowa or Seattle?
No, I think the good thing about the current state of food policy and the current state of education in the United States is we're all on a similar playing field. We all need to work on these things. And I think that we're creating a curriculum that's not geographically specific. Seasons change, little things change here and there, but I think there's still a core context from Portland, Oregon to Portland, Maine to Miami, Florida to, you know, Southern Arizona that is, you know, how do you poach an egg? You know, we need to learn that. Regardless, that's not regionally specific, and how to make a vinaigrette is not regionally specific, but these are both things that take 3 or 4 minutes, and they're really core cooking ideas, and if they usurp that idea of going to the fast food drive-in for dinner, then we've won, and we need to win over and over and over again, because we need to create the next generation who feels totally empowered, like they got this. And cooking is that thing. It's like people who cook on a regular basis, they just got this.
I wonder how that, in terms of teaching and engaging students, one of the things I found interesting was that in the plan for the digital and online curriculum is you're going to bring in people like Jacques Pepin and have him teach how to poach an egg. What's the value in that? I mean, your average 15-year-old doesn't know who he is, right? So where do you get benefit from the celebrities coming in to teach these basic techniques?
I think you want retainable stuff. And the way you get retainable stuff is you have this crazy guy who's deep French accent, but he's ebullient and awesome and brilliant and will teach somebody in a way that hopefully they'll really remember. And we still have those little iterances of times in our back to our elementary school days and our middle school days where somebody taught us something and it still sticks with us. So we're just trying to make sure that every lesson in this is really tied to that notion, that we can really grasp at it and really remember it. Because I don't remember algebra, but I would remember Jacques Pepin teaching me how to poach an egg. you know, and I don't remember trig all that well, but I would remember Tom Colicchio teaching me how to make a really simple salad. So these are the ideas, and hopefully hopefully the connections I've got to make this just a little more well-rounded and really an approachable and retainable sort of way of learning.
Who did that for you? When you think back to the very basics of food, what are the lessons that stick in your head that you actually do remember?
You know, I started working at such a young age that it was more in restaurants, starting when I was 14, and that helped me a lot later on. You know, I was a much better human, not just because I knew how to cook professionally, but just because I knew how to cook. So when I went off to university, I never finished, but I was a hit definitely because people would come over and we would make dinner and it would be really economical and really smart. But we were living in Montreal and having a good life, and everybody would sort of pitch in $2, $3, and we make a big supper. And we just need those type of basic skill sets. So, I mean, there's so many ways that we learn, but this is just one way of making sure it's really retainable.
Do you think that part of, say, for example, the obesity crisis in the United States is connected to this disconnection with our food and food preparation?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, it's very documented that when you have Dunkin' Donuts for breakfast and McDonald's for lunch and Kentucky Fried Chicken for dinner, your chances of having a really successful time in school and paying attention and having a good, well-rounded life of good health, your chances are slim. So we need to make sure that we're raising a generation that can feed themselves and feed themselves with skill sets and really go back to the times. You know, I'm not looking for that time way past 100 years ago when everybody made food from scratch and we all had little gardens and occasionally we killed a chicken in the yard. I mean, we're modern. This is very contemporary, but it's really important to be able to make an omelet, and it's really important to be able to make soup at home because sometimes you just need to. And I think that disconnect has caused, and the convenience items that we eat every day and that just the ready-made food has really contributed to those type 2 diabetes and obesity rates and just sort of a non-learning society when it comes to core skills.
And one of the things that you have referred to is that in our effort to focus on the STEM education, science and technology and mathematics, that perhaps we've left behind what we think of home ec or the domestic sciences because we don't think of them as advanced. Can you both train somebody to be a good passable cook, to be able to make their bread if they're out of bread, and be an advanced technologist?
You know, we hope to create better citizens through this. And I think that better citizens understand food. And when you understand food, you understand ratios and you understand percentages and you understand that a great vinaigrette is 3 parts oil and 1 part acid. And then when you're out in a garden at a school, because they all have gardens now, you can understand that this seed is producing this amount of food and this is doing this. And then photosynthesis occurs and all these things. And this is when we harvest. And this is why we're harvesting. This is what happens when we poach an egg and protein coagulation. I mean, there's just so much that you can bring into it to satisfy STEM and STEAM attributes of learning and education these days that are so much more rewarding and really can impact later testing and things like that.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people don't bake, because it's such a precise science.
Right, and it
is. The chemistry is so precise.
But that's the beauty of it, and that's the beauty that we need to teach to people, is that science and math, though I don't remember a lot of the math I learned at school, I do this every day because we're following recipes and we're writing recipes and we're writing ratios and we're figuring out complex theories and complex ideas of food. What I want to do is get back to this time of saying, you know, I mean, we always used to say things like, you know, I used to make jam with my grandmother. But we never say I made jam with my mother, because mom bought us Smuckers. And we just need to realize that there's a world there that's beautiful in making food from scratch. So if I cook at home tonight, later on, or tomorrow, my kids are around the house and they're seeing me cook and they engage with me and they help me out. But they're learning through that too. But then we sit down and we have dinner, and that's what the average American household isn't doing right now, is they're not gathering around the table. And I also say this a lot. You're never going to have a beautiful family moment over a bunch of pizza pockets. You have a beautiful family moment over a home-cooked meal that means something to you, that was bought and purchased by farmers you know, that had skill sets going into it. And it can be simple. It could be a roasted chicken and some rice and a beautiful salad and some roasted broccoli. But if you made that from scratch and your kids saw you do it, you've just taught them something that's equipping them with life skills. And that's more important than any Pizza Pocket can ever be. So it's just a moment, and it's cool, and we need more of those moments.
Do your kids bring their own lunches to school?
You know, Beatrice, who's now 13, I remember this scampering around the kitchen when she was 5 years old, and it was the first day of school, and she was going off to kindergarten at Chase Street Elementary right around the corner from our house. And she was making a salad, and she was making a vinaigrette from scratch in a mason jar because she knew how to do it at five. And she was packing it separately to dress later. And to me, you know, very proud chef father, I was weepy. But she had learned something, and she had learned something that she will never forget. Bea's a special kid, super smart, and raised in a very culinary household, but this could be any kid. And life's just better when you know those skills and when you've got it.
Chef Hugh Atchison, he's the founder of Seed Life Skills. It's an organization with plans to change the way schools teach home economics. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me.